Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos with you, along with Ton Bettis, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Ton, I think we all have a little bit of spring fever. We're anxious to get out in our yards and just really do some, get our hands dirty today. And let's talk about, for just a moment, what people should be doing in their yards right now. What are some of the best things we can be doing?
Shrubs need pruned. There are some caveats with that. You need to know if they're flowering. If they flower in the spring, like our lilacs and snowball bushes, you prune them right when they're done flowering. Otherwise, you can go ahead and get things pruned. Aerating right now for the lawn, it's a great time to do that with the lawns really growing and breaking dormancy. And that's if you need to aerate. You don't automatically need to. It's if you have clay soil or a lot of traffic or a lot of thatch would be some reasons you would aerate. If you haven't gotten your pre-emergent down, if you've had crabgrass problems, do it soon because it's going to be too late within a week or two for a lot of those. You want to use a pre-emergent called Dimension. It is effective a little bit later than a lot of the other ones. Those are some things you can be doing. The fruit tree pruning should be wrapped up by now. If it's not, get it done quickly.
All right. Texter asking, they're looking for a perennial border plant that receives 5 to 6 hours of sunlight. Any ideas?
5 to 6 hours of sunlight. Does it say morning or sun?
It does
evening?
Not.
Because that is important. Because if it's west sun, then they're just going to have to use full sun perennials. There's many of them that would work. And I actually wouldn't do just one species. If it were full sun, I would use a mix of newer lavender varieties, newer Veronica varieties. We'll have up soon an interview with Brian Lloyd that was a follow-up to his podcast, but we talked about some of his favorite plants that are longer blooming or just useful, and that will be going up soon. So newer Veronicas, newer salvias, there's many things that could go in there, but I would use a mix in case something dies. It looks a lot less obvious and it's easier to replace. And let's say you did just a straight lavender hedge. 3 years down the road, all of a sudden a couple of them croak, what do you do? So if you use a mix of things, it's just easier to plug in and take out. So if it's shade, you know, your options are a little more limited, but hostas and Brunera would be a great one. What's the other Brunera? Brunnera, but there's some variegated forms of that that are gorgeous that have blue spring flowers. There's many things that they could do, but again, even if it's shade, I would use a mix.
We do have that interview available right now with Brian. Would you like to play that right now?
Sure. It's about 6 minutes long. As long as we don't run over a break or anything, I'd love to.
Okay, let's go ahead and hear from Brian about his favorites.
But that's my first pick, Ton, is their Amore series of petunias. Amore is... It's actually been bred. They found a petunia that has a heart shape in every single bloom. It actually has 4 or 5 heart shapes in every bloom. And you can find this heart after you know that to look for it. And once you see it for the first time, you'll never not see it again. And so the Amore series of petunias from Danziger are one of my favorites. They're totally available now. They came out, they were actually released 4 or 5 years ago with their first color, which was called King of Hearts. And that was a yellow, they're bicolor petunias. And they look like a, if you're not looking for the heart, you just see the star pattern. But the heart is mixed in between the star shape. And so the first one that came out was yellow and red, King of Hearts, and the red heart was in the middle. But my new favorite one just came out last year. I don't remember the name of it, but it's a pink and white. And the heart is pink and the flower's white. And that's just one of my favorite flower color combinations that's out there. So my second choice is, it came to be because we needed something that really stood up to all different soil types, weather types. It's tough as nails. It's called Lemon Coral Sedum. It's from Proven Winners. And this one's actually, it's an annual. In other climates, it can be grown as a perennial, but we're not warm enough in the winter. Lemon Coral Sedum is a chartreuse color of green, and it's a succulent, so it doesn't need a ton of water once it's established. And it's a great accent plant. It can be used in borders. It can be used in containers. It's trailing as well as mounding. You can use it standalone as a monoculture in a container. You could plant a bed of it. But that chartreuse green is such a great contrasting color that it really makes things, other things stand out. And so that's why I love it so much.
Have you found that it's hardy both in the containers and in our garden soils?
Yep, totally drought hardy. I've gone for weeks, like literally 2 weeks without watering a container, and it stays perfectly green and alive. It, when you give it water, though, it doesn't, it just grows faster and bigger. But when you don't give it water, it's not like it turns ground. It's a true, or excuse me, turns brown. It's a true succulent, so it stores a lot of water within its foliage, and so it can survive dry periods very easily. So my third one is the genus with impatiens. There are several different types of impatiens, single, double, New Guinea, sun patiens, all different types. The reason I love single impatiens for beds and double impatiens for containers is because these are some of the brightest colors we can get for full shade. So even though we have a lot of sun in Utah, a lot of us have front porches like myself that face the north and never see a drop of sunlight. And these are flowers that will thrive in those conditions. They'll take a little bit of early morning sun for a couple hours. They won't take afternoon sun at all. That will burn them. But they will also take full shade the entire day, never seeing a drop of sunlight, and continue to bloom for a long, long period of time. So all types of impatiens, but especially I love single impatiens in garden beds that are in the shade. And I prefer double impatiens because they're more mounding and get bigger for containers in the shade. My fourth plant would be perennial hibiscus, flower that we all know from Hawaii, right? But those are the tropical versions. There's actually a perennial version and they get even bigger blooms. Actually, they get like dinner plate size blooms nowadays. Some of the breeding that's come out has been bred for either, well, for all of the above. Bigger blooms, longer bloom period, and better plant habits as well. And so Proven Winter's been doing a lot of work here, and we grow and supply a lot of the Proven Winter varieties, as well as other varieties of perennial hibiscus. These bloom in late summer. They need full sun, although they do okay. They just don't bloom as much in partial sun. When they have a little bit of afternoon sun, that seems to be okay for them. These things, the blooms on these things are bigger than your hand, sometimes bigger than your face. If you don't have a big, very big head, I guess they can be pretty big.
And those are some of Brian Lloyd's favorites, favorite plants. And you can hear the entire interview with Brian Lloyd on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We need to take a break. The number to call 801-575-8255. And Tana, we have a number of callers waiting, texters waiting as well. We'll take your calls and texts coming up next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Thanks for taking us along on this Saturday morning, the Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you, taking your calls at 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. We have a long list at this point. People are talking, Ton, about getting their sprinklers ready for the season. Let's take a call from Stacy in Murray. And good morning, Stacy. What is your question?
Good morning. So my question is, how do I find a reputable, knowledgeable, reliable sprinkler company that knows a lot about timers and valves and such? I have an older irrigation system, so it needs a lot of revamping.
A lot of times, local garden centers will do business with landscapers and maintenance people and know people that are reliable that may not necessarily advertise a lot. And so it would be worth maybe talking to some local landscapers just to see if, or some local nurseries to see if they have any recommendations. What city are you calling from?
Murray.
Okay. So yeah, I would stop by some of your local garden centers, and because they have kind of the pulse of the industry and they know the guys that are going to mess up and the guys that are good. And so I'd really have a conversation with them as far as recommendations.
Okay, great. I'll do that. Can I sneak in one more question?
Go ahead.
My pear tree last year, my very small pear tree, had an overabundance of fruit. I mean, it was an incredible amount. And I had probably 5 large limbs break off due to the weight of the fruit. Is the solution to that this year to just pinch off maybe half the blooms?
How long has it been in the ground?
Oh, at least 15 years or more.
Okay, so it's well established. What you're going to do is you can thin them now, but if you wanted to wait until danger of frost was gone, you would go in mid-May to late May when the fruit's about the size of a dime and thin it so you have one pair for about every 6 inches to foot of branch.
Great. That sounds very doable. Thank you for your help.
All right.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You for your call this morning. Let's take a call from Steve in Murray, also about sprinklers this morning. Good morning, Steve. How can we help you?
Hi. I want to replace my lawn and my sprinkler system. And hang on, I just lost my train of thought. Anyway, I wanted to put down, instead of the sprinkler system, to put down a drip irrigation system, I guess.
And what are you intending on irrigating with the drip?
Just my lawn. And I was told by a contractor that the drip irrigation system really doesn't work very well. That they that the holes in the system tend to clog up after a year or two, and that he didn't recommend it at all. He said I should stay with the traditional sprinkler system.
From what I understand, the contractor is actually speaking the truth about those drip systems for lawns. And I would, at this point, hire a reliable installation company that's going to do a good job at doing a thorough installation, that so you're not going on the cheap side, you're getting something that's going to, and because if you do get a good contractor, you're actually going to be saving water because you have a good system and don't have to run it longer because of deficiencies. And so in this case, I would stop by some of the sprinkler supply stores or John Deere Landscapes or the sprinkler store, talk to them about reliable contractors. And you can call them and vet them, make sure that they're licensed and bonded and things. But I would actually do an above ground system that was reliable than try those drip ones, because I just hear the same things about them, that after a year or two, a lot of times they're really hard to repair and they just have a lot of problems.
Okay, so you're recommending just staying with the traditional system then?
And if you're going to hire it done, get references from plumbing, irrigation, outdoor sprinkler store type stores, so that you can find somebody that does a good job.
All right. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news, and we'll be right back.